Welcome to Commerce Experience. I'm your host, Amanda Elam, Chief Marketing Officer at Bloomreach. Today, I am joined by Cindy Marshall, CEO of Shine Strategy and an expert in direct-to-consumer digital marketing. Cindy has spent the past 11 years consulting brands like National Geographic, Vera Bradley, Brooks Brothers, Faraday, Johnny O, Annie Selkie, and Bowdoin. In this episode, we discuss the customer data platform space and its relevance to the e-commerce industry. We explore the different components of CDPs, including front-end, segmentation, and back-end organization, and discuss how businesses can match the requirements with the right technology solution. Enjoy the show. Cindy, we always lead with this question. What was your first job or role that dealt with digital or e-commerce?
It was actually in 2000, the dot-com boom, when everything started taking off. I worked for a company called Iziba.com. They were handcrafted goods from around the world. Before that, I was working at L.L. Bean. And so it was a pretty big shift from going from a $1 billion company to a very small $300,000 business that I got to $4 million within 9 months. But what's fascinating is back in 2000, there were not affiliates. We were just starting. And then we used to buy display ads. You literally had to negotiate the homepage of AOL and MSN and Yahoo to get display ads. So it was a lot of fun. I loved it. It was a crash course in digital marketing.
That's amazing. I cannot imagine having to buy display ad space by platform. That would be terrible.
It was not fun. It was, but that's all we knew, like, you know, starting out. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, that is awesome. And I hear congratulations are in order as you're also an author with your recently released book titled, Sorry About Your Diagnosis, You're Fired. What in the world is that about? Oh, there it is. I have just been reading this book. It is absolutely, I'm almost getting angry for you reading some of this. So tell us some of that story.
Well, you know, you never want to get diagnosed with cancer. That's bad enough. But literally 5 things happened to me, but I'll only tell you about 3 of them because you have to read the book to get the other 2. But yes, I was, you know, diagnosed with cancer in end of 2011 with aggressive, it was almost stage 3, triple negative breast cancer. And of course, at the time, I had no idea what that was about. And I was working for a database marketing company. I had left the brand side and was working for a database marketing company. And halfway through my chemo, they decided to let go of the strategy team that I was working on. So I lost my job. So I wasn't really fired. I was laid off. But, you know, the truth is that that's shocking. Shocking first enough to have cancer, then to go through the treatments. I had to go right into chemo and then to lose my job. But 9 months after a bilateral mastectomy and a rebuild, I got hit by a snowboarder and
oh my gosh,
I was thrown into the air 6 feet and landed 25 feet away and severed my humerus. And I have a plate and 9 screws holding my arm together. But you know, that's what it was about, or the book is about. And there's 2 more things that happened to me. But at the end of the day, it's about resilience and living in the present moment and always knowing that nothing else matters other than love. Love always wins. Family and friends, and it'll keep you moving and keep you going. And it did take me 10 years to write the book, but I'm so glad I did. And now I feel like I let that pass and go beyond.
That is amazing. Did you feel like somebody was after you at some point in this?
I did. I was like, why is this happening? I just don't get it. I don't understand it.
Yes. I mean, a friend of mine who'd gone through quite a bit of trauma related to her son being diagnosed with a severe illness and many other things. She said to me, people ask me all the time, why you? And she said, my answer is why not me? And I was like, oh, I could not have that perspective at all. I would be quite angry. Well, I'm so loving this book. Thank you for writing it. But in addition to your personal experience and talking about how we can bring love, it's all about love, and that changes the world around us. You know a lot about our industry and our space and CDPs in particular, which is near and dear to the Bloomreach heart. So where are we now as you look at our space and our industry and the CDP landscape and e-commerce?
I would say that the CDP space it's just continuing to evolve so fast, like cell phone technology. It's ridiculous. 2 years ago, my cell phone was very different than what it is today. But I actually think the CDPs are moving at a faster clip. If you think about it, I always think of CDPs as a customer database on steroids. You've got the cleansing, you've got the audience development, and then the back-end orchestration. But we never were able to orchestrate customer databases in the past. We had to extract the data, then it was very complex to send it to any marketing offer that we wanted to do. And I think before I launched Shine, I probably put up 10 customer databases. And I always did them from scratch. And I remember one of the experiences putting up a customer database, we had a parent record and 7 baby records for all of the different titles that we were marketing or the different brands that we were marketing. And it used to take 6 months to 18 months to build a customer database. And then to be able to access the data, I remember at L.L. Bean, like we had 30 million names on the database and I had to put in a request for someone in the database department to pull that information. Well, now with a customer data platform, I could go type that request in immediately and have the results like that and not wait weeks. So it's, you know, a marketer's dream to have the customer database, I mean, a customer data platform, I should say. And one of the things that I think is really important is like, I spent most of my career in B2C, but during COVID, I had a brand reach out to me and ask if I could help them find a CDP, and they were B2B and B2C. Well, I didn't really know about the B2B side, so I ended up researching 70 different CDPs. I literally had a spreadsheet with 70 CDPs, and then are they B2B, B2C? Who are their clients? What are their pros and their cons? And I went through all of this just to understand, to narrow it down, and I just was blown away by how many there are. But what's happening now is there's consolidations and, you know, acquisitions happening constantly, which I think is fabulous because we need that.
I think that what I see certainly in the space fairly consistently is that there are so many different definitions of what a CDP is. Some you talked about the cleansing and the access to data and then the orchestration, but certainly being a competitor in the space, we see there are many variations of technology providers who offer some version of those three things. Like, what do you really think makes somebody an actual CDP that can use it in the way that you're having a vision for how a brand would use a CDP?
Yeah, I would say you have to have all three. You have to have the front end data cleansing, and then the middle modeling analysis and audience definition, and then the back end orchestration, and then bringing it all back in with the measurement. And a lot of companies aren't doing that. You have to piecemeal. I was working with a brand last year who had their own BI tool, and then they attached Segment, and then they had to have another tool to pull other reports. And it just wasn't easy. And I think what's happened with the CDPs is it is so much easier to use, and you don't have to be the technical expert. So even a chief marketing officer, a CEO could go in and pull the data. And then I find that many companies just don't know what their requirements are. They don't really fully understand what they need. And they were jumping at, okay, there's the CDPs, everybody's got them. What do I need? And if they want website personalization, okay, that's very different, but you can get the website personalization with the CDP. But what's your MarTech stack, and how does it fit into your MarTech stack? And, you know, what are you using for gathering your customer data? Like, it's not Shopify, it's not your customer database.
Sure. Yeah. That's your e-com platform. Yeah. So Cindy, it sounds like I've been in B2B marketing my entire career, and talking about like cleansing data, bringing it all into one place, connecting that data, building audience segments, activating it across channels, that to me in the B2B world sounds like marketing automation. Is customer data platform the right term?
I don't think it is the right term, because everybody thinks of a platform as your e-commerce platform. And I actually think customer data automation would be the right term. But the key is really fully understanding the requirements that you need. I did work with a client last year who just didn't know exactly what they needed. So I took them through this process where we look at technical functionality. What are all the things that you need? What are the must-haves? And then what's your source of truth for the customer? Do you have measured, for example, for your attribution, or do you want your customer data platform to be your attribution tool? where are you keeping all your customer data today? And then campaign orchestration, what do you want to push it to? What do you want to personalize? Is it more than the website and email? Is it direct mail? Is it, you know, other display ads? Analysis and measurement, user experience. So a lot of people want it to be easy, but if it's easy, can I customize it? And then what do you want out of your partner? So I think that's really key to know what your partner is going to give you. And so I spend a lot of time doing that, and I usually come up with 60 different items. So if you think of a spreadsheet, and you know, those maybe 7 categories with 60 line items, and then I match it to the solutions. Yes, no, do they have it or not? And that way I sometimes have 25 solutions, and then I match it to the requirements, and I come up with 5 for an RFP. And I actually did 2 of these last year in Bloomreach. You were top 2 finalists with someone else, and you won those 2 accounts.
Oh, fantastic. I'm so glad you said that, not the other way around.
But it's, you know, people don't know like what the use case is either. So that's the other thing, trying to pull that information out of the brand or the marketing team. How are you going to use the customer data automation tool?
I think that does seem to be the hardest part, is that the marketers or the business users themselves, they understand a user experience from their own personal user experience from being on TV or shopping online or doing something like that. But for them to verbalize how inside of their own tech stack and with the data that they're capturing, how they would deliver some kind of experience like that for their own customers does seem to be a lot harder for them to put their arms around. And that is something that you help. I think you said tease it out of them. That's something that you really help businesses understand.
Yeah, I get to their pain points. What are you trying to solve for? What's not working? Do you know your recency, frequency, monetary? Do you know subsequent value of your customers? Do you know retention rate? And a lot of people are like, what's that? I don't understand it. And then other folks that have been doing this for a long time do understand it. But just doing something as simple as, let's create a use case of getting a first-time buyer to convert to a 2-time buyer within 3 months. What are the things that we need to do? How do we reactivate high-value lapsed customers? How do I even identify them? And so coming up with those use cases is extremely valuable. And I believe that you actually have 30 that come out of the box. You have the best practices of use cases, at least the implementations I've worked on with Bloomreach. You usually provide, you know, 15 to 20 to 30 use cases to get the customer thinking about it. And that's really key.
We learn from our customers and from our partners like you on what are the things that are the most important and what do businesses really care about, and how can we, particularly for commerce companies, implement those things to make it a little bit easier to get started. But as you said, I think that that's super critical, helping a business ensure the strategy, the use cases that they're trying to power. But beyond that, how do you, you were saying earlier, you have this whole list of technology solutions. How do you begin that process of matching the business need to the technology solution and making the recommendation?
I begin it by asking the pain point questions with the brand. What are you trying to solve for? What, you know, what's working well in the business? What's not working well in the business? What do you know about your customers? What's your wish list? What would you like to know about your customers? And then also being able to show them what an ROI could look like. But first, I got to tease all that information out. And because I have this framework and shell, it's pretty easy to do. But I have had where I've jumped in halfway through a process where one brand I was working with at the end of 2021 had already said, oh, we've talked to 4 CDPs and, you know, this is what we want. And these are our requirements. And they were looking at people that were just an email service provider. And I said, well, that's not a full CDP. Are you trying to deploy email? Is that a priority or not? And so really asking the right questions and understanding, you know, what's working and what's not.
Yeah, that's great. So how long of a process is that typically that you go through with these brands?
It can usually, it's just within a month to get that information out, depending on who on the team is available, and then making sure they agree with the must-haves And then after we go through the must-haves, then the solution process can take a little bit longer because we need to then reach out because everybody's merging. So at one point, my 70 CDP spreadsheet, I was keeping up to date with the mergers and I just can't keep up with all of that. And who's adding what new technology?
Yeah, it is. It's an exciting space. And I think the thing that's super cool is, especially with the advancements made in AI most recently, we're just seeing this, the ability to personalize experiences for consumers at scale just take off in such a significant way that hasn't really been possible before now. And I think the CDPs that started as a database for sure and then built capabilities on top of it, like Bloomreach and a few others, definitely have a big advantage in delivering personalization. But when you think about that and even the advancements in AI, what do you see being most effective and important to prioritize in a personalization strategy for brands when you're thinking about using CDP for this?
Well, data in is the output is only as good as the data going in. And so it's so critical to make sure that the brands prioritize the cleansing and truly understanding. Cindy Marshall has 5 email addresses and 3 devices, but I'm one person. And knowing about me is critical. And so understanding where it doesn't matter. I might be buying men's clothing because I'm buying for my partner and I'm buying kids' clothing for friends' children, but I don't have kids of my own. So don't send me kids' stuff all the time or figure out when you should be marketing to me for children's. But I just believe that merging the records to one, you know, understanding all of my touch points and being able to truly know that these different contacts created the sale and that don't send to my 5 different emails because I don't want to get 5 emails from you. Pick the best one and then collapse it down to a single individual. So I think the contact data and cleansing is so critical. And then being able to segment based on tying customer to product.
Yeah. And with that strategy, you send less emails. So you save money, you improve your deliverability rates. And so you get better placement in the inbox and so many other benefits aside from just, you know, having your data in one place and activating it on channels. But from a brand perspective, so many other benefits. That's fantastic. So as you're talking through these things, you're giving us such great advice. You've done a ton of research. You've been in the space and are such an influencer. What resources can you recommend or how can you help outside of this podcast people interested in learning more about CDP and e-commerce in general?
I look at CDPI, the Customer Data Platform Institute. In the beginning, I was worried about it because it was kind of pay to play, but it still has great information. So I'm always paying attention to their daily email. I look at what's going on. And like today, I scanned the email and there's something about Google and
ChatGPT. All these acronyms.
All these acronyms, right. So I'm looking at CDPI, but I look at Forrester, I look at Gartner, and I look at MarTech, and then G2. And so back in 2020, when I had the B2B brand that I was working with, I actually went to all those sources. And if somebody was ranked really high in the top 10, that was a factor that I used to say, this is a really good, you know, customer data platform because they're ranked by 3 out of the 5 leading companies. But I also think that it's really important just to walk, crawl, run. So it's the old testing strategy that when you're, you know, launching this CDP, you need to make sure that you're testing 10% of the audience first, then you roll out a little bit to 25% of the audience, and then you roll out to 100% of the audience. So I think that that's really critical as well. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I use. G2. I like G2, but I think the combination of all of them is good.
Yeah, lots and lots of sources to triangulate, which is why people need someone like you when they don't have time to do it. They can work with you to do that research for them. Cindy, thank you so much for coming on the show. We've had a long relationship with you and look forward to a continued relationship. Make sure to check out the show notes for links to where you can connect with Cindy further, her website and all of her fantastic resources, or reach out and connect with her directly. My information is also in the show notes. I'd love for you to reach out and hear your feedback and ideas for the show, or just to connect with you on our social channels. Be safe, be well, and here's to good business.